Hi, my name is Tori, and I am currently a junior at the University of Denver. I'm double majoring in International Studies and Journalism with a minor in Marketing. I'm currently the Editor-in-Chief of the DU Clarium. I'm passionate about sustainability and have written a 7-article series on topics such as compost, recycling, divestment, energy use, and environmental racism. I'm excited to expand my work to a multimedia format and to share information and advice on how to live a more sustainable life. It is always important to focus a few of your daily efforts on bettering the environment. For my final podcast, I'll be focusing on environmental racism. In Flint, Michigan, more than half of the population is Black, and they have struggled with unsafe and contaminated drinking water since 2014. Yet, the state of Michigan as a whole is 80% white, and this issue has been quickly resolved in predominantly white neighborhoods. This is a direct example of environmental racism, as the government has failed in responding quickly to the lead-polluted water. Black folks are more than twice as likely than white people to live in a home with substandard plumbing. This means the service is cheap, low quality, and worsens existing plumbing issues. There is more proof of people of color not receiving adequate home amenities and clean water. Race is the most significant trait that can be used to identify if a person lives near contaminated air, water, or soil. There are only 2 instances out of a multitude of environmental injustices that happen around the world and even right in your backyard. The issues affected by environmental racism are endless. The BIPOC community is impacted by unequal access to clean air, water, food, green space, and affordable energy. Environmental racism is often ignored, and this is a result of larger institutions being slow to implement positive changes for the BIPOC community. The environmental movement is predominantly made of white activists who often fail to acknowledge how environmental issues disproportionately affect the BIPOC community. The government is slow moving to address pressing issues that have continuously impacted marginalized communities. The biggest hindrances for implementing this change is money and accessibility. That is why many activists are pushing for policy reforms rather than completely replacing them. The concept of voting with your dollars means to spend your money at companies that align with your values and support the communities you are advocating for. In Denver, there are many Black-owned businesses that you can explore more in my article. Students can access a multitude of educational resources online, such as healing toolkits for the BIPOC community, a list of leaders to call and hold accountable, and petitions to be signed, TV shows to watch, books to read, and other resources. The process of dismantling these environmental injustices will be difficult and complex. I had the pleasure to speak with Magenta Freeman, an associate to Black Lives Matter 5280 and a member of the Alliance Center in Denver, a regenerative recovery coalition. Freeman had a few tips of how to get involved. If you have the capacity and time, and to be aware and open to opinions, consider other viewpoints, think of how you contribute to environmental injustices, and then shift as much as you can and to vote with your dollars. The evidence of environmental racism is apparent and relevant in day-to-day life, whether people choose to acknowledge it or not. These barriers can be broken down through education on environmental racism, advocating for marginalized communities, and voting with your dollar. Everyone needs to promote environmental justice with the BIPOC community.
You can read more about environmental racism and how students can make a change in my 7-article series on sustainability. Thank you so much for tuning in.